all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. James chapter 3, verses 2 through 12. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder, wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles? And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue, it's so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature and is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature at the sea, is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man, underline that, can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. With it, we bless our God and Father, and with it, we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus, no spring yields both salt water and fresh. Amen. As you know, we've been going through James, right? What's James? Street level. Okay, who grew up on the streets? I guess I'm the only one. I got one over there. He knows what I'm talking about. We're street guys. We were raised on the other side of the tracks. So when we close out chapter 1 of James, James closes out chapter 1. And as he closes out chapter 1, he has dealt with something that he's going to stick with throughout the rest of his entire letter. He closes out chapter 1 dealing with dead religion and worldliness. And catch this, because to James, there is a high correlation between dead religion and worldliness. And as we begin to discuss in chapter 2, he's dealing with all these signs of worldliness in the And immediately in chapter 2, we dealt with it, and I spoke on that message that James was dealing, well, how we treat people. You know, we have this tendency for people that are important, whether it's in the church, mostly in the church because he's dealing with the church, a level of status. I'm going to treat my pastor better than I am the person sitting in the pew. No, you ought to have the same love for the pastor as you should for the person sitting in the pew. That's sin. You're committing sin otherwise. Chapter 3, we skipped over, but Dave spoke on chapter 4, another sign, which was what? Quarrels, silly quarrels, unnecessary quarrels that people who are Christians should really be working out, okay? And then last week, he dealt with the whole comparison that James does throughout the book of humility and boasting, the balance there, okay? All right, so here we are, James chapter 3, the tongue, or if I were going to call this, entitle this message, would be TIA, tongue in action, tongue in action. Let's pray. Now, Father, I commit myself to you. I'm a vessel of clay. And Lord, well up within this tongue, in this body of mine, in this mind of mine, and allow the Holy Spirit to empower me and anoint me, God, to convey this message to both our mind and to our inner man, And Father, we ask and thank you, God, for the inspiration and the unction and the authority of your Holy Spirit now, and the manifest presence of your Holy Spirit we welcome to convey this message in the authority of Jesus. Amen. All right. We got how many eyes? How many? Three. Somebody's got one in the center, right? How many ears you got? How many nostrils you got? Ooh, two fingers, one finger for each nostril. Ooh, I won't go there. Now, some people have a big nose. I got the king cobra. I got this mixture of Italian and Jew in me, so I got the giganta, you know, nose. But notice how great God was. What did he do? He gave us two eyes to see. He gave us two ears to hear, two nostrils to smell, but only what? One mouth, thank God, to speak. You get what I'm saying right now? You know where I'm going with this, right? You know what I'm talking about, right? Thank God for that, because I can honestly say with myself, this apparatus, this little thing, has gotten me into some trouble. How about you? I'll be the first to raise. How many hands do I have? Two. I'll raise both hands on. Let's take a look at this video. We have that? We have that video, or we don't have it?
Say, what's the matter with you anyway? Don't you even know a rabbit when you see one? Hmm? It's true, Doc. I'm a rabbit, all right. Would you like to shoot me now or wait till you get home? Shoot him now! Shoot him now!
Watch
you keep
tongue.
Out of this. He doesn't have to shoot you now. He just so have to shoot me now. I demand that you shoot me now.
Ooh, that tongue.
Let's run through that again. Okay.
Now, our tongue gets us into so much trouble that you don't want to repeat what you just did when you got in trouble, do you? I don't, you know. But notice, you remember the cartoon, if you don't know it, they go through it again and he gets shot about three more times, right? So it shows you the fact that what? This little apparatus here can get us into what? Trouble, man, trouble. So we got to do something about it. But James is talking about it. It's so critical that we have to look at it, that this apparatus is so important that we've got to be attentive of it, and we got to be able to do something about it. It's very critical. Otherwise, James would not have brought it up. Okay, verse 2. Are you going to stick with me today? Well, even if you're not. We got usher buzzers. If you fall asleep, you get it. All right. Hey, what's a little taser, right? I mean, come on. All right, verse 2, for we all stumble, and how many ways?
Many,
many ways. We do, and transparency and honesty is important in this, okay? If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, also able to bridle the whole body. Now, notice how he jumps from tongue to the whole body. But listen to what he says here. In the actual original language, the word perfect here does not mean sinlessly perfect. Rather, a better word for that is actually mature. Mature, okay? But James is saying, look, right already, guys, he's saying, look, you begin to get a hold of that tongue, you begin to get a hold of a lot of other things in your life, right? That's what he's saying. Now, we're going to keep stepping through this, and we're going to see that James uses a lot of illustrations to make his points, okay? Okay, follow me through. Okay, let's read verse 3. Thank God my wife is handling the slides. There is no way I could preach and handle slides. I can't do it. I am not that highly coordinated. And by the way, it's $50 an hour, so if you want to, maybe next time I speak, that's up to you. Indeed, we are able and we do put what? Bits in horses' mouths. What? Why? So that they may obey us. Makes sense, right? And what do we do with that? We turn their whole entire body. So James draws a picture of something that he would be familiar with, and even in this day and culture and hour, we would be familiar with the horse, right? The bit in the mouth moves the body to obey the horse, right? Obeys, moves the body. Then he goes, verse 4, look also at ships. Now, you didn't have an ocean liner, although you knew of Noah's Ark. Although they are so large and they're driven by fierce winds, kind of interesting, kind of funny that this big ship, they are turned, they are operated, they are controlled by a very small rudder wherever the pilot or the captain desires to go, right? Hey, what happened to you guys?
Yeah.
Thank you. All right, so help me out. We got bits, we got horses. We got rudders, we got what?
Ships.
I'm going to question you a minute because there's a big, gigantic exam afterward. Might collect all the exams afterward. Whoever doesn't get a passing grade, you got to stay again for another sermon. All right, what's James saying? James is looking at a comparison. Well, I got a bit and a big what? A big horse, right? I got a big bit and a big horse. I got a small rudder and a big ship. James is trying to say, is saying that the tongue is small and yet what? Very, what, hon? Powerful. Powerful. This tongue is not that big, but boy, oh boy, this tongue has a lot of power. Power. See, some of you guys are strong. You do the Spartan run and all that stuff. You got some strong people. You got people, man, they're very strong. There's weightlifters. But this tongue has a lot more power than even the muscles in our body. Horses. Okay, let's draw a little bigger picture. Horses, they're bigger. They're faster than humans, right? They are. Yet that bit in that mouth, once you place that bit in the mouth, that not only could steer that horse's head, but it begins to control that whole body. You can ride that thing. You can direct that thing. You can move that thing across trails. That horse, that big, beautiful creature that God has given to humanity. Isn't it funny that we can control that? That's power, man. But it started with what? In the mouth, the tongue. Just think, controlling the tongue has power. Controlling the tongue is power. Ships, huge and driven by strong winds, yet completely controlled by the steering rudder. Now, this is important, guys. What does this mean? This means that the tongue is a gauge. It's a gauge. And if you and I steer this tongue in the right way, now listen to me, if we steer this tongue, which we're meant to do, we're meant to steer this tongue in the right way, and if you and I steer this tongue in the right way, we can bless, we can guide, and we can lead others in the direction that honors and glorifies God. Now, the opposite is true. If you and I do not steer this tongue in a proper way, you and I can get people off course. People can get hurt, and like a horse, or especially a ship, they can lose their way. Folks, are you hearing me today? You hear what James is trying to say? This is a world of iniquity. That's what he actually means. It's a world of iniquity, his tongue. It's got to be tamed. Bring up the slide, honey. Bits. Now take this down as a note. Bits in horses' mouths, rudders in ships, the tongue, have power to direct. To direct. Amen? That's our first key point. Wait. Bits in horses' mouth, rudders in ships, the tongue, have power to direct. Let's go to the next verse, love. Even so, the tongue is a little member and what? Come on. boasts great things. You know, sometimes in the Christian life, you and I have to be, we need a reality check. Because here we are in the United States of America, and we are told you can be all that you want to be. Not just in the army, but everything, right? Isn't it great that you could be a lawyer, a doctor, a dentist, a carpenter, a minister, a nurse, a programmer, a teacher? Isn't that great? You could be a lot of different things that you want to be in this country. Can you not? But let me ask you something. Watch that tongue. Let me ask you something. Is that true everywhere and with everyone? When you were born, did you make the decision what country you'd be born in? You didn't. When you were born, did you make the decision who your mom and dad would be? You didn't. Why not? Couldn't get that one, right? Couldn't order that one, right? You and I, if you're 23 years old and you're living right now in the country of North Korea, you have very little opportunities available to you. Not because you want to, it's because it's enforced upon you. This tongue has a lot to say about a lot of things. But what it must do, it must first honor God. And how do you begin to honor God? It's the fear of the Lord. You know what the fear of the Lord is? The fear of the Lord is not somebody, God slamming you against the wall. The fear of God is this, that you consider the grace of God and you are thankful.
Amen. Yes.
That is the fear of God. The fear of God considers the grace of God and says, you know what, Lord? Now, we don't have to be guilty for what we have, but we need to consider the grace of God in terms of what we have, and we need to say, thank you, Lord, for what I do have.
Yes.
We overlook it. We take advantage of it. We don't acknowledge God enough on that level.
Yes.
No, we don't. Because our America is, go, go, you can have everything. You see this woman sitting here? This is my wife. You know what? She wouldn't be here if where she came from, they lost all their opportunities in Cuba. I would have never met my wife. My wife's family, her uncle was a millionaire. Her father had a huge business in Cuba. They lost everything. They came here to start all over again. We need to consider the grace of God with this tongue, and we need to be thankful. Okay, next verse. Are you hanging in there?
Yes.
It is okay? You guys okay?
All right. Yes.
Well, even if you're not. No, I'm only kidding. I'm not like that. Okay, verse 6. And the tongue, it's a fire, a world of iniquity. In the original language, an unrighteous world. An unrighteous world. It's a great book on the book of James. Dr. Peter Davids, who was my professor, great book. The tongue defiles the whole body. I'm not including the whole verse in there. Sets on fire the course of nature and is set on fire by hell. Now, what's James trying to say? We need to catch this here. The tongue. James is saying, look, two eyes, one would be funny looking, a nose in the center. Look, everything drops, right? Parallel, you got the eyes, you got ears. I got big ears too. Boy, man, big nose, big ears. I didn't sign up for that one. So we got eyes, ears, we got nose, and right down in the center we got this mouth, right? But James is saying something critical here, guys. He's saying that the tongue, it can, and at times it is a main gateway. It is the main gateway. If anything, it's not just our eyes, it's not just our ears, it's the main gateway through which the evil influences of hell itself can spread like fire, bringing great destruction to the lives of others. Come on now. Is it true? Is it true? Three serious things here. One, this is the only other place in the New Testament where the word hell is mentioned other than the Gospels. This is the only other place. Two, the whole body. When it speaks of the whole body in that verse up there, when it speaks of the whole body, I didn't really put it in there, but it's in the original scripture reading. The whole body is not just the church, but it includes the whole person, soul, body, and spirit, which can be affected. Number three, the tongue is two-edged. Why? Why is this tongue? Why is the tongue two-edged? Ooh, good. It poisons not only me, but it poisons the other person. It not only can affect and will affect me, it can affect the other person. You see, James is saying this world of iniquity, this worldliness, the worldliness is not just so much things that we see. The worldliness is just not so things that we hear. The worldliness sits dead center, right in the middle, right here, that we need to be aware of and we need to begin to ask God to tame. That's what James is trying to say. Yes, it's two-edged. It not only poisons the person, but it poisons others. Okay, verse 7. Can you get it? It's not working. Hey, can you guys bring up verse 7? There you go. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creatures of the sea, is tamed and has been tamed by who? Mankind. Mankind, look at the authority that God's given us. Look at the dominion he's given us. But, no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Notice the analogy of deadly poison. This is important. Very important, because James is trying to be illustrative. Hebrews, Jews are very, use a lot of imagery, a lot of illustration. So he's comparing the tongue as deadly poison. He's connecting the tongue, in many ways, he's connecting the tongue, because remember, James is very reflective. He's connecting the tongue to a snake. He's connecting the tongue to a snake. Okay, do me a favor. Stick out your tongue. You too, Tim. Stick out your tongue. Interestingly enough, think about this. Basically, your tongue, my tongue, is shaped like the head of a snake. You ever think about that? In many ways, it looks like the head of a snake almost, in many ways. It can look like the head of a snake. And guess what the snake does? How does a snake kill? With its mouth. Its mouth. That's how serious James is trying to make this. He's trying to make it very vivid. Very, very pointed. Can we bring up the next verse? Or not the verse, do the next point? Okay. And one more after that. Fire, animals, and the tongue. Not all animals, but fire, animals, and the tongue have what? The power to destroy. The power to destroy. Question arises, my friends. Church, a question arises. Listen to this carefully. What are you and I going to do with that tongue? Are we building relationships or are we blowing them up? Are you and I building relationships with each other in the body of Christ, with God? Because you know what? If I can serve God, but I can violate my relationship with you, no, that's out of sync in God's eyes. No, if I am building a relationship with God, I should be building a relationship with my brothers and sisters and just with people in general. But am I building them or am I blowing them up or am I breaking them down? What am I doing with my tongue? That's a question let's hold on to. Okay, we're moving towards our end here. Let's read verse 9. Did you get? Oh, verse 9, guys. Verse 9. That's okay if we don't have it. With it, the tongue, what do we do? What did we just do prior to the preaching? praise and bless God, right? It's cool and we love it. And we'll get into that and we'll enjoy that so much. With the tongue, we'll bless God, even in our private time, you know, and we're all guilty of this, me too. We'll bless God and the Father. And yet with it, we'll curse man. Now, he's not talking about profanity there. That's not profanity he's talking about. It's the way that we vocalize and express ourselves and treat one another. You see, one word of unkindness could turn a person right away. One word of harshness. Oh, I'm not ready to deal with you now. Well, you know what? You need to be ready to deal with them. Maybe it's in the moment. You can miss something and you can affect somebody so quickly and so fast. You and I can. Verse 10, out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. James says, my brethren. And notice he keeps using the word my brethren about 15 times in this epistle. My brethren, he's talking to the church. These things ought not to be so. It doesn't make sense that we as children of God should be living this way. And in verse 11, he says, does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine figs? Now, we know the answer to that, don't we? We know the answer to that already. Hun, could you open that up? Now, she not only gets paid $50 an hour for the slides, just for doing, making this stuff for my next illustration, she gets another $150 bonus. Now, who wants to sign up next time I preach? I mean, you're going to be wealthy by the time we get done here. All right, let's do a little illustration here. Would you take one? Little me, though. If you don't, that's okay. Who would try it? Would you take this one, too? I didn't make it. I mean, I wouldn't eat it, but I mean, Lil made it, so it's safe. Could you take that one? I want you to taste both. All right, try it. No, no. Ain't happening. Could you take two? All right, forget that side. I'm going to this side. No, I like passing around. It's okay. All right, one more, dear. Want to take one? Hey. Hey, you can't give me. I'll leave this here at the end. Okay, let me ask you something. Hey, wait a minute. I'll get some people back here. Go ahead, dear. Anybody? 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 Okay, one second. One second. The pregnant lady. Okay. Anybody else? Take some. Take some. Okay, let me ask you a quick question here. Sorry to break that long, but let me ask you a quick question here. Okay, what gave you the ability to identify the sweet or the tart? What gave you the identity? What helped you to identify which one was sweet and which one was tart or bitter? The tongue! The tongue, right away, right? We know quickly, man, I get some food in my mouth. I can tell sweet, I can tell bitter. But isn't it funny? We can't tell that when it comes out of our mouth towards others. You and I need to identify what is sweet and what is bitter. How you and I speak to our spouse. How do we speak to our children? How do your children speak toward others? What do you say towards others? Is it sweet or is it bitter? Is it deadly poison or is it welcoming? Is it loving? Is it drawing? Is it the fruit of the Spirit? And please understand, it's not like, okay, Aaron, let's just say, likes the Giants, and he comes to me and says, hey, Vince, this guy, man, I got mad, and, like, I decked him in the jaw because he made fun of the Giants, and you know what? I broke his jaw in five places. Oh, congratulations, brother. Good job. No, we're not talking about that. You know, we're not talking about, you know, using our tongues in that regard. No, sweet and bitter, okay? The context here is not only what we say about ourselves, but the context of chapter 3 is more about how those words roll off of our tongue. We need God to tame this tongue so that this tongue will edify and glorify a holy God.
Amen.
Holy God. We put holiness aside. Holiness is important because you know what? It's how we love people. It's how we love one another. You see, if I love you, I shouldn't be... we make mistakes. I'm not saying that. But you know what? Bring up the next slide. Here's the last one. A fountain, a tree. Remember the grapevine, the fig tree? Have power to what? Nurture, cultivate, refresh, heal, restore. Okay, application. Bring up application. In the big scheme, as we're closing out this chapter, we need to identify, what is in and what comes out through our tongue, sweet or bitter. What is in our tongue and what we will do with it. What we will do with it. Now, in closing today, we've heard the expression think before, right? You know, think before you speak. We heard that expression, right? Think before you speak. Okay, bring up the acronym. Follow it. Think. Look at the word. Think. Before you speak, think. Think what? Is it first letter, T? Think, is it what? True. H, is it what? Helpful. I, is it inspiring? N, is it necessary? K, is it kind? Think before you speak. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for the service. I thank you, Lord God. The mere fact is that no human, it's factual, Father. We pray together in this room, Father, no human, no person can tame the tongue. And Father, right now we approach your throne and we ask God, we yield. In fact, we take the moment right now, and folks, do this in your heart with the Lord. We take this moment to yield this tongue of ours to the sanctifying power of your Holy Spirit. And that is what each of us take the initiative, God, through our will, and we submit our tongue to you today. We ask that you would fill our mouth with the Holy Spirit. Take control, Father, of our tongue, that our tongue would glorify a living and gracious God. It is the only way to convey the good news of the gospel. The tongue of life or the tongue of death. We choose the tongue of life today, Father. And we ask and thank you for all these things this day, Father, to glorify your Son, Jesus. In his name, amen.